I've been enjoying First Baptist Church for about 2 years now. I am a mostly retired hospital chaplain, and I do have a husband. His name is Gary, and he's relegated to the piano bench today. But let's get on with the sermon. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you just had to have it? Like when I was about 9 years old or so, I wanted go-go boots. Now, go-go boots were these tall white boots with a little black heel. Just think 60s and you'll get the picture. Well, I knew my parents could not afford go-go boots, but I begged anyway. They sacrificed. Well, the first day I wore them to school, and on the way home, a great temptation arose before my eyes. The field was flooded with water, which is nothing unusual in rainy BC, but there was also a wooden pallet floating on it. How could we not go rafting? Well, sadly, my go-go boots got completely destroyed as we sank into the grassy water. I never felt ever so ashamed that I had wanted something so badly. Well, we all have desire and we all have longings, and there is a desire that will never, ever disappoint. Some modern thought says that we need to get rid of all our desires in order not to suffer. Now, there's a lot of truth in that, but the biblical perspective tells us to have the right desire. What do you desire? One thing I desire is beauty. I'm kind of a beautyaholic. I have to have beauty to get me through the long, wintry Edmonton winters, just to get me through. Well, beauty existed long before the creation of anything. Before Hawaii, before roses, before the aurora borealis, there was beauty. Because there was God. And where God is, there is beauty. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila and a lot of the medieval mystics, they say that we are born with a heart full of desire, and that it's kind of like a basic longing, something that pulls us toward God, a restlessness, a motivational force. Now, the people of ancient Israel had this desire when they sang Psalm 84, our text which was just read earlier. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord Most High. My soul longs and even faints for the courts of the Lord. Why was it that lovely, that beautiful to even faint over? Well, the dwelling place was the temple. The courts were the outer parts of it. And the temple was a place of contemplation of this pure beauty. Contemplation comes from the Latin word com, which means with, and templum, which means temple. So even the word contemplation has instilled in it the idea of with temple. Now, the temple is where people found the presence of God. It's where they saw, where they beheld, or where they contemplated this beauty. That's why it was so lovely, because God is lovely. Now, the psalmist of Psalm 84, he longed and even fainted for it. I bet that no one here has ever, as you're coming to the church and you're in the parking lot and you fainted in the parking lot just for longing to get here. If you have, you should probably let Pastor Ryan know about that. Well, the temple was the center for Jewish life and worship. It housed beautiful art, a poetic library, and served as a concert plaza. It was beautiful, beautiful aesthetically, visually, auditorily, and mentally. The temple also symbolizes a holy place. For the further one enters the temple from the outer courts, the more of God's holy presence is experienced. Only the high priest could enter the most inner sanctum once a year. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. He has made a way for us to also enter the presence of God by his death and resurrection. The psalmist describes this place as lovely, both the temple and the idea of basking in his company. How did the Israelites even get to this place? The temple was in Jerusalem, and not everybody lived in Jerusalem. Now, the Jewish male head of every household was required by law to travel to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year to celebrate the annual feasts. Sometimes they would bring their families and traveling in groups. This was likely one of those occasions where Jesus at age 12 took the trip. Traveling home, his parents couldn't find him. He got lost. And they were pretty upset. But Jesus said, "Don't you know I'm in the house? My father's house?" Have you ever lost your preteen kid hiding in church? Has your kid ever said, "Well, Dad or Mom, I love our home, but church is my real home?" Well, Jesus thought so. Jesus had the one thing desire. What's the one thing? Well, the psalmist David also expressed a longing in an earlier time, before this temple was even built. In Psalm 27, David also longs. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, ask questions in his temple." Well, David's temple wasn't even a beautiful building. It was a tent, a meeting tent. But that is where God met the people. That is where God shone. Now, the longing wasn't for the structure. The longing was to be with God, to be in awe of the beauty of his presence. David said, "One thing have I desired." Jesus had that one thing desire as a 12-year-old. The travelers of Psalm 84 had their sights on the one thing. This longing kept them going on the journey. What's your one thing? What's your greatest desire? I was in a mood one Saturday morning, so I asked my husband, I says, "Gary, what's your longing for today? What do you really want to do today?" And he says, "Oh, I want breakfast, lunch, and supper." He didn't miss a beat. That's scary. It was not the answer I was going for. Now, I don't know where my desire-o-meter is on the scale of 1 to 10, but I know I get distracted, easily distracted. I want bigger, better, easier, funner, less of the hard stuff, more of the good stuff, as if that's the real desire, instead of clinging to my one thing desire. Let's take a further dive into Psalm 84. The singer of this psalm is an unknown traveler on his or her way to Jerusalem, singing, "My soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." Now, this psalm was written later than David's psalm, probably about 600 years before Christ. It was likely the temple that King Solomon had built, which was later destroyed in the exile to Babylon. It's a psalm of ascent. These kind of psalms were used to sing, to worship while ascending the climb upward to Jerusalem, where the temple was. They pushed forward on a difficult journey, at least 3 to 5 days. The ascent to Jerusalem became steeper and rockier and in danger of bandits. But the people would sing, "How lovely is your dwelling place. My heart longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." So to inspire them to keep going, they'd take another step. "How lovely is your dwelling place." And they'd take another step. "How lovely is your dwelling place." And then there's the kids crying in the back of the ox cart, "Are we there yet? Mom, can I have another fish stick? Or, Mom, Jonah jumped overboard again. But they'd focus and they'd sing, "How lovely is your dwelling place." They'd look to the next hill and climb and sigh and sing, "How lovely is your dwelling place. One thing I desire." Well, Gary and I walked the Camino with Alanefa in Spain, and the goal was to get to the cathedral, the temple, in Santiago, which took 320 kilometers of walking all uphill. That part's not true. The last day was a rainstorm. I mean, a storm. We sang and sang and sang while sloshingly drenched. We sang our way to the cathedral to keep us going. And we got there. Now, the travelers of Psalm 84, they arrived too. It was longing fulfilled, like arriving to a spiritual home. And guess what? No disappointments. There are three blessings for those weary travelers in this psalm. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." Once you get there, you want to stay there. You want to dwell there. Verse 2 says, "Even the birds lived in God's house. The sparrow has found a home as it nested in the roof corners. Even the little, the insignificant ones are important to God, and the temple was home for all." The second blessing is verse 5. "How blessed is the one whose strength is in you, in whose heart is the highway to Zion." Or Zion, meaning Jerusalem. So if we use this metaphor of the journey to Jerusalem, it's not really a physical one so much as a spiritual one. The road to God is here, right in our hearts. The heart's desire, the thing that pulls us to him. The text says, the blessed ones take strength from God on the journey. Now, there is a valley called Baca, it mentions, meaning bitterness. There's weeping. There's rain. There is temptation to give up. There are also pools of refreshment. Well, in the valley of Baca, you know, there is even beauty in our dark places. God is not afraid of the dark, the rough places on the journey. He has promised he's with us, even in our valleys of Baca. Well, they arrive, finally. Well, in the middle of the psalm is the climax. At least I think it is. It's verse 7. It says, every one of them appears before God in Zion. They've arrived, tired, achy, and ready for a hot cappuccino. But they lift their eyes, and there it is, the temple, more beautiful than they ever imagined. Well, then what happens? Verse 9, they behold God. They contemplate God. It says, look upon the face of thine anointed. Whose face is that? The anointed one refers to the king. And as a messianic psalm, that king is the promised Messiah, the son of David, as Joanne Badley taught in her sermon a couple of weeks ago. That face is Jesus. They found the one thing. The traveler is so enraptured that the response is then in verse 10. One day here in God's courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Well, the outer courts was so beautiful, was so inviting to them. I think maybe in this life, we maybe just sometimes just get the outer courts, but we know there is more to come. Psalm 84:11 identifies God as a son. Well, I always like to look at the end of the book in Revelation. It talks about this son as being God. So we won't need the son because God is our light. We won't need a physical temple because God is the temple. That is where we will dwell. One more blessing, number three. It's in verse 12. How blessed is the one who trusts in you. Well, it's easier to trust once you arrive, right? There's a relief. Oh, we made it. But the challenge is that we trust all along the journey, all through the hard parts and the good parts, to trust. Surely this beauty of God is not just for the heavenly hereafter, but for now. Surely some glimpses of it keep us going, keep desire fresh. How do we get these three blessings? Well, the psalm gives a roadmap. Four things. Desire is first. The longing, the wanting it. Next, seek. Get on the path. Take a step. Then third, to behold or contemplate this beauty. And then, lastly, live there. Abide in God's holy presence, morning or evening, awake or asleep, being aware that we breathe in God's holy presence. Making God's beautiful presence our very home. That is the journey of Psalm 84. This unknown traveler becomes known. He becomes known in the temple. God sees, he notices, and then he blesses. He says in verse 11, he will withhold no good thing from the traveler. God will not withhold his very self from you. And we know this because he did not withhold Jesus from us. The unknown traveler could be you or me. It's anyone. It's actually all of us. You know, you desire God as your one thing, but God also desires you. Wouldn't it be great to wake up every morning and to remember to pray, my one desire this morning, O God, is to see your beauty, to see a piece of your goodness. And then in the evening as we go to sleep, we go, thank you, Lord. I saw you here and I saw you there. And yes, you are beautiful and you are good. His temple might be your car as you drive to work. His temple might be your prayer closet or a walk in the woods or your Sabbath day. The pathway to the temple is in your heart. If the one thing desire is waning or tired out or not even recognizable in your heart anymore and you're going, where is it? Well, you could pray for the desire to desire or pray to long or pray to want, that kind of wanting. I invite you just to imagine a beautiful place, a cathedral, or a place in nature, or a place, something that really grabs your heart, and just stay there for a minute. Something about what you imagine reflects who God is. Now imagine God's house to be a million times more beautiful than that. And not even more beautiful, but the beauty keeps on growing and growing and growing on and on for all eternity. Now, come back to Earth, to First Baptist. There is beauty here too. See the people all around you? Well, they are the temple of the living God too, as God dwells in them. So beauty is in them too. Okay, take a look at yourself. You are also the temple of the living God, and he dwells in you. That means that you are beautiful too. May we, like this traveler, desire and seek and behold or contemplate and then dwell, live in the beauty of the presence of God today, tomorrow, and beyond. We do get tastes in this life that keep us going till one day we will behold his face.